Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap it life eternal. So what sometimes you think, oh, you just need one Sunday service. No, that is not the design of God for you and I. Hallelujah. That is not what? The system in this kingdom is not for you to listen to a message. Even Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by what? So that hearing is talking about repetition. You need to put yourself on a program where you are not tired of hearing the scripture or the word of God. Because that's actually what we have successfully done with the flesh. The flesh has been schooled consistently. So the flesh, whenever it sees its own, it responds. What do you now need to do as a believer? You need to feed. When we say, when scripture says, oh, feed, or you hear, feed on the word of God, feed on the word of God, he's not talking about cram all the scriptures. There's a place for that. I'm not saying there's no place for that, but I'm saying that if it is one scripture you can stand on, that you know it very well. He says, after you have trained that system, when there's an opportunity for flesh to not manifest, there is a counter algorithm that is from the Spirit of God to say, no, this is not of God. But you are a believer. But you have been bought with a price. At that moment where you are, and some of us have received some of those things, that there are times you want to do something that you know that this is not of God. There's a scripture that comes out of. Where did that scripture come from? It is out of the abundance that you have consumed, that you are now responding. So if you want to do it by the arms of flesh, he says the arm of flesh will do what? It will fail. Hallelujah. So that's why we need to have the word of God. I'm not saying just in your belly. I'm saying that you turn to the right. There's a scripture. Until we get to that level, we'll still be crying. Like Romans 7. Hallelujah. We'll still be what? We'll be groaning. Say, who will deliver me from this book? God has already made a way. And it is by our partnership with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It is by our what? Partnership with the Spirit of God. It is, and it is not just one off thing. It is a daily thing. You are sowing to what? The Spirit. You are sowing to the Spirit. You are sowing daily thing. Daily. Am I saying there will be no time where you feel weak and all of that? Even when you feel weak, yes, sleep. But the moment you are fine, what do? You continue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this helping somebody?
Yes, sir.
Just now, 6:45. So I say, if Christians still commit sins after they believe in Jesus, does that mean Christians have a sinful nature? What's the answer? What's the answer? Please give me Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans 6, 6. You'll see where that answer is explicitly written in the Bible. Romans 6, 6. Or if anybody has it, please just help me read. Oh, hold on, sir. He said what? Knowing this. Yes, sir? Our old man, what has happened to our old man?
Crucified.
Continue, sir.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Henceforth, we should not what?
Serve sin.
that henceforth we should not serve sin. Hallelujah. Now, the second point I believe that I must have established, you don't have two natures as a Christian, true or false? Huh? Somebody is not convinced. You don't have two natures as a Christian, true or false? You don't have in you the sin nature and at the same time, the Christ nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, what has happened to the sin, the old man? Huh? All things pass. So the old nature and the flesh are not the same. Hallelujah. That you act in a sinful way does not mean you have the sinful nature. Is that okay? Is that okay? And I said here, I said the flesh is the part of a believer that disagrees with the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says the flesh war against what? What's the word war there? They are in constant disagreement. God wants it to be this way. The spirit of God wants it to be this way. The flesh has its own to be this way. Example, the flesh will tell you, before you marry, test, make una go run on herself. Make una no say, she can, when I feel both deliver, so that if una know the, and you know, the word has, and quietly, that thing, that definition, see, people have in church have now accepted like alpha. When I don't, there's even one I'll give you. Finish them. That is not the way of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, there's another thing, and I think I've mentioned about this. Give me Romans 8:5. I've explained it, but just a scripture to back it up. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. So the question I asked myself, I said, so why then do people or Christians live after the flesh? Is it possible for a Christian to live after the flesh? Very much possible. So why then do Christians walk after the flesh? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 gives us, can we read together, one to go? For they that are after the flesh, they do, hold on, they do, can you give me another translation? Those who live according to the flesh, they set their mind. You know what it means? You see that camera, the way that camera is looking at me? That camera is set. Except another man touches that thing, he's focusing on me. So he says, those who walk after the flesh, what do they think of? Their focus is always on the things of the flesh. Can we go further? But those, yes, they live according to the spirit, they set their minds on things of the spirit. And I say, see, sometimes you need to be an actor. Think about what the possible situation will be like and tell yourself what your response. You know, sometimes why you are thrown off balance is because you have not thought that when they ask you this, what will be your response? Hallelujah. Is that the case? But if you have the answer ahead of time, does it give you some form of confidence? That's the way we need to rehearse in the spirit. That if I come to office by 8:05 and resumption time is by 8 a.m. and they ask me, what time did you come? Because I have rehearsed that answer, I know what the answer will be. What do I say? I came by 8:05. What would have been the response of the flesh? The flesh would have told you it will affect your salary. Your boss will give you a query. You know, you begin to think and connect that 8:05, the implication of that 8:05 to ego. So the response of the flesh is what? 8 a.m. So it says, those who walk after the flesh, their mind, their attention, their focus is on the flesh. And so those who walk after the Spirit, what do? They think on spiritual things. They think on spiritual things. So don't, when you go about and you are in the bus and you bring out your phone and you open your Bible, what you are doing is that you are feeding, you are focusing, you are setting your mind. There's a posture that your spirit has to be. So you have been deviated. But when we focus on the thing, or when we feed on the things of the Spirit, what are you doing? You are realigning the focus. So when they tell you, join them, Abby, what's that statement again? If you can't beat them, you join them. But because you know that your attention is on God, what do? You say no. Matthew chapter 5, it says, you are a city, set where? Upon the hill. That can never be hidden. It says, if a man has a candle, does he put it under the table? No. So it means that wherever you find yourself, there's a tendency that the place is dark. As a child of light, what would be your response? This is an opportunity for me to shine. Hallelujah. 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 Is this helping somebody? Because there are things that I've contemplated and I've struggled with some of those things. Like, I'm seeing flesh somewhere. I'm seeing, do I still need to go back to give my life to Christ and all of that? Except if the works of Christ have not been fully perfected in you. If you are now doubtful, like, oh, I didn't give my life, that's a different thing. But is it because, oh, you lied? Yes, you lied. But what do? You don't hold it too long. That was one of the mistakes of Adam. The moment Adam heard the voice of God, what did he do? Have you thought about it the other way around? What if he had said, Papa, now you? And begins to like, you know, some of our siblings those days, when we don't do something, something is very bad. And we don't already agree for our boy, say, we no go tell them the truth. Then we now have one. Have you experienced it before? Mommy, hey, welcome, mommy. I want to tell you, it was not me, oh. It was not me. It was Uncle Charles who experienced that. If Adam had approached God that way, would we still be talking about the same thing now? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me close so that Pastor... Hallelujah. I don't even have time for questioning. I just said 45 now. It's now 55. I don't know how the time does it fly. Hallelujah. Do you have questions in the house? Do you have questions? Probably if another time, I'm permitted. Yes, Mark, your question. How do you walk in the Spirit? I think we already have outlined some of those things. One of the things that helps you, how do we walk in the Spirit? One of the things that helps you to walk in the Spirit is setting your mind. Consume as much as you can. I remember those days. I think we were better helped those days of recorder than now. I think we received much help that time. There was no interruption, no distraction. It's either that thing works or not. For some of us, that battery, you go put them under sun, make it charge again, you bring them back, you listen to that message again and again and again. You know, I think we're better helped that time. And those things helped us to be grounded. Some of us, we have not really learned some new scriptures to memorize. It was those scriptures of days of listening to some messages again and again that has helped us. So we need to bring ourselves into that same system. Where we have less distraction. Every day, can I tell you something? Every day, our attention for details is dropping. And they will tell you, children, psychologists will tell you, anything you are teaching, like the age of Nathan, don't stay longer than 10 minutes. Have you asked why in school, they say it's 40 minutes. What's that thing they call it? One period is 40 minutes. It wasn't just because it's that they've studied it. That, okay, this person's attention span. So our attention span is reducing every day. And the bad, I don't know, maybe it's a bad news, maybe it's a good news, is that with the way technology is going, we also have to be moving fast. Because, you know, they successfully put it in our palm. The way technology is going is on the cloud. Anywhere you, even if you face, you sleep like this, your, what you call ceiling, you know, before you have to sit down in your parlor and watch those things. They moved it to, no, parlor is too, let's put it on your palm. You move, Abby. So anywhere you go can become a screen. It can become a screen. And one of the things I asked God is, what will become the generation of my children? Like, what kind of things would they be battling with then? Have you considered that? That what would they be battling with? So in working with the Spirit is feeding our minds with things of the Spirit. Any other question? Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah.
Just like David said that sometimes, not that he really wants to sin, but he finds that he does what he didn't want to do. So my question here is falling out of spirit to me.
Ma? Calling?
Falling out
okay.
of spirit.
Falling out of spirit.
Yes, sir. So my question is, because I believe, let me take myself as
example,
sir. Falling out of spirit, sometimes I fall out of spirit because of frustration. So how my question is, how do I deal with the frustration that makes me to fall out of spirit?
Okay, so if I got your question very well, those moments where you are not minding the things of God, where you do your own, you run your own show, like we all do, there are moments like that when we, because of frustration, and we run our own show, and we run wild, true or false, we run very wild. What do I do? The frustration is what makes you...
How do I deal with the frustration that makes me fall out of the spirit of God?
Okay. One of the answers I will give is if some things you can deal with them alone after the passage of time. Some things you need to speak up. But I really need examples. Please give me that example you wanted to give me. Okay.
You'll come and collect the loan.
Okay.
And it's 5 days already. The money is not ready. And they are coming to beat you up or arrest you. So in that place now, you are frustrated. Something has to be done. Either I lie or I say I've traveled or your husband died. So you are under pressure. You are frustrated.
So you it just has happened to everybody. Does that fit what you...
So how do you handle that?
It's not, for the example of the loan, I don't think it's something hard. I don't think it's something hard. When you are under pressure, if I understand when you are under pressure. And if you are under pressure, I think you will need to speak to somebody. That's one. Now, give me that scripture that says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, you cannot do it alone. But there are some frustrations that Even to pray itself. The will or the energy to pray itself is taken out of. Yeah? That's why you need another partner. And that is after you have tried praying, talking to somebody. And who are these somebody I'm talking about? I'm talking about maybe your pastor, your cell leader. You can speak. You can say, oh, this is what I'm going through. What can you advise? You know? And for the loan example, for instance, you can call, maybe there are those people, you explain to them, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. The event might be, oh, we are taking you to court, right? Uh-huh. Is the fear that you are responding to is not the pressure actually. The fear of what if, what if, what if, what if. That is actually what you are responding to. So if you can take out the factor of fear, and how do you take out the factor of fear is that you speak to God. Sometimes you go to the God in time, in place of prayer, you really don't have anything to say. Just stay there. Huh? Just stay there. In His mercy, He might speak to you. But because I don't know other information surrounded around this loan. Did you take the loan for a business? Did you take the loan? So many of those nitty-gritties of those things, I need to consider them, understand them. But because I don't have all of that information, somebody who is frustrated, and because you are frustrated, you are not minding the things of the Spirit again. The first is, He says, come unto me. I think that's Matthew chapter 12, 29. 11:28. So He's first to come. There's another part in Hebrews chapter 4 that says there's a rest He has called, right? Is to first, you must find the true knot. Your true knot as a believer is in the presence of God. By the time you now get to the presence of God, the details of how you come out of that depth, what will happen, what you should say, what you should not say, who you should see, who you should not see, the details will be discussed. But the first thing is, if you are lost in the wilderness, in the forest, and you have the compass, what do you look for? Is the true knot, and is the presence of God. Does that help a bit? Does that help a bit? Hallelujah. I think that's all I can take for now. Let's celebrate our pastor as he comes forward.
Hallelujah. Can we appreciate Pastor David? Amen. Now, that message on the sin nature is not actually something you can rush in one service. But let me just throw this in. It's important that when we come into God's presence, we pay attention to what God is saying. A lot of Christians are struggling in this area. A lot of Christians are not even convinced that we can live above sins, appetites, or things that others struggle with. We are not convinced because of what we have been fed with over time. If you wake up and realize for the last 10 years, the only messages you have been hearing is how Jesus will solve your problem. Then you just wake up and realize that your resolve, your ability to resist sin. Paul said you have not yet resisted sin unto the shedding of blood. That means there's a point you can resist sin and blood will be flowing out of your body. You know? So those are dimensions that people like Paul has touched. You know, that Jesus touched. So the purpose of coming to church is to build that Christness. Christ must be fully formed in us. And let me just say this. Some of the things we are praying to God for, and we are saying, God, we are in trouble, we are in trouble, is because we did not listen to God initially. Most people who are owing now have no business owing. But they were looking for a quick way So they borrowed money from some loan sharks, and it became a very big problem. If everybody, the Bible says, let everything be done in moderation. If you do everything you have to do within your limit, you will only need money for the most important things. So as a Christian, you have no business borrowing money for your stomach, for feeding. So some of the things that put us in a tight corner, I've done so because we disobeyed God's instructions initially. Finally, in Romans 6:11, you know, it was talking about the sin nature, how to overcome the sin nature, the flesh. But there's the first element that Paul gave to us. He said is to reckon yourself dead to sin. Give me another version. I want them to see something. Think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. So you are dead to sin. That means you don't listen to dead language again. And you are now alive to God who speaks your mother tongue. So what this scripture is saying is that if God says you have died and your life is hid with Christ, then you also in your mind, because your mind cannot understand this thing. It cannot understand that Jesus already paid for your sins. It doesn't understand it. All your mind knows is that I feel like doing something that is bad and I do it. So Paul is saying for you to overcome sin, train your mind to think this way. How? That you are already dead to sin. That you are like a dead man in the mortuary and they put 100 million beside you. It doesn't mean anything. As long as that money means something to you, you are in trouble. And that's the first training I was given when I started working in the bank. They took me into the vault and showed me pounds, euro, dollars, and millions upon millions of naira. And the first lesson, everything here is paper, but to the customer, it is money. The day this paper becomes money, you are no longer fit to work in this place. And I thank God for the 12 years I was there. It was paper. You know, it was paper. It was not money. So that's what it means to reckon yourself dead. Instead of, a dead man does not struggle. The fact that you are trying to stop that thing is the reason why it has power over you. You want to stop drinking? You want to stop smoking? You want to stop womanizing? Don't stop. Don't try to stop again. Don't try. Reckon yourself. Consider. The word reckon means consider. Consider that you are already dead. That this thing has no power over you. And a dead man will not struggle with a bottle. A dead man will not struggle with a cigarette. Once you do it, you are putting your faith in what Christ has done. Not your own ability to say, I did not sin. They gave me this thing yesterday, but I thank God. Because you are what? You are dead. And your life is what? Is hidden in Christ Jesus. So that's the moment you understand this foundational principle, your road to deliverance has started. Don't try to stop drinking alcohol or smoking or stealing. Don't try. You can't. You can't stop. It is the power of Christ in you that will end that thing. And what did Jesus say? What did Paul say to us? Consider yourself dead. That this thing is, you are dead to it. It doesn't mean anything to you. And then the moment your mind becomes reprogrammed like that, that's it.